have a seat. I'm not really going to give a talk now. I'm just going to sort of like waffle at you for a few minutes. And then I'm going to do three talks tomorrow. So sorry I can't stay with you till Sunday, but I also run a church and Sunday's a key day for churches, as you'll be aware. So when Richard asked me to come to do the weekend, he basically said we'd like to do something about helping us feel refreshed by God. And I didn't have a series of talks about that. So I tried to say, what about doing the Book of Joel? Because I've just preached that. But no, it's quite persistent. So we're not doing Joel. We're doing some stuff about refreshing the soul. So let me tell you what I'm going to do. This isn't a series of talks. What I've basically done is three passages that have helped me when I've been feeling in different ways spiritually down and low. So I'll just tell you what they are, where we're going with each of them, and then I'll pray. So I'll be 5 minutes probably. The first one is the story of Elijah. And you might know some of the story of Elijah's life. It's totally bizarre. 1 Kings, it's in the book of 1 Kings. Elijah's story is really weird if you read it. He just sort of appears out of nowhere in the book. The author of 1 Kings introduces him by saying, "And there was a man called Elijah." That's all we found out about him. He's a Tishbite. Nobody really knows what that means. He appears, and he's in this sort of set too with this evil queen called Jezebel. And she has tempted God's people away from what they should be doing, and Elijah's sent in to sort her out. And he doesn't sort her out, so she refuses adamantly to be sorted out by God's word. And so God sends this drought on the land. And Ahab, the king, says to Elijah, "You're a real troublemaker because you brought this drought on us." And he says, "It wasn't me, actually, it was you. It's your fault we've got a drought, so why don't you sort it out and then God will bless us again." Anyway, has this big showdown with Jezebel and her prophets, the prophets of Baal. And it looks like he's won. Talk a bit more about this tomorrow. So it's sort of like, who's the real God, Baal or God? And Baal is not the real God. He doesn't respond to any prayers because not existing stops you doing that. So he doesn't respond to any prayers. And then Elijah prays and fire comes down from heaven. It's this great showdown. All the prophets of Baal get killed. The people run after the prophets of Baal and chop them down. It looks like this great victory. And Elijah even does a sort of victory lap. So he runs ahead of Ahab's chariot. And you think it's going to be this great victory. And then Jezebel sends him a message saying, "Do you want to know what I think of your victory? I think the next time I see you, I'm going to kill you." And it's basically, what do you do then, where you've given it your very best shot? And it was a good shot. So it wasn't that you messed it up. It was that you did a good, right thing, God-honoring thing, and still the difficult situation you're in doesn't change. And we see how God deals with Elijah in that situation. So I guess that's for refreshing the soul. If basically you're just kind of tired, you're tired of trying and not seeing anything happen. And we see how God deals with Elijah. That's the first passage we'll look at. The second one we'll look at is 2 Corinthians 12, which I had a sabbatical last summer and spent some time studying this bit of 2 Corinthians and had to go to a conference where I was speaking on it. And basically, Paul says this thing in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, "For when I am weak, I am strong." And I heard lots of Christians say that my whole life and not really had a clue what it meant. I'd heard it used mostly as a sort of after-the-fact rationalization. So when I used to work with Christian unions, they'd do an evangelistic event. And then nobody would invite anybody, so there wouldn't be any non-Christians there. And then someone would inevitably say, "Oh, but you know, God's strength is shown through our weakness." And I'd think, I'm sure that's not what that means. So you don't have to really try, and it will appear that nothing happens because you don't try, and that's somehow God at work. But then what does it mean? And so I think it's something quite profound there, but that's another way God refreshes our soul, I think, is by saying, you think you're on fire for God when you're going all guns and everything's going really well. In fact, you're strong when you're weak. You're strong as in you're most useful to God. You're most having God at work in your life when you feel at your most weak and useless. So we'll think about that, what that means. And then the third passage we'll look at is Psalm 63. It's a famous psalm. You probably will recognise it when we read it. It's the one that begins David saying, God, you're my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. And that's basically a prayer of a person longing for spiritual refreshment. In David's case, actually, it's a prayer for a person longing for physical refreshment. He's actually in a desert when he's praying that prayer. But it becomes apparent as he goes through the prayer that the desert is a sort of picture of his relationship with God. And really what we'll be walking through there is, say you just feel like God is far away, what do you pray that makes a difference? And I think that's a great thing to learn, because it's when I feel like with God that I just don't know what to pray. Just think, what is there to say about feeling like this? And Psalm 63 is all about what there is to say. So hopefully that will get us through needing refreshment because you're just tired, you're giving your best shot, but it hasn't worked and you're tired of that. Needing refreshment because you're not strong, you're weak, and what will God do with that weakness? Or needing refreshment and not knowing what to say to God about it. That's what we're going to do.